Warning, you are about to enter a world populated by the most appalling music ever made. Welcome to the search for the worst album of all time. This is Broken Records.
But I'd been forgotten, I'd been married a long time ago.
Same thing, girl.
A girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
You're beautiful.
Hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star.
Hello, welcome to episode 24 of Broken Records. Our search for the very worst album ever made. Have we found it this week? You'll have to wait and see. My name's Stephen Hill. I'm joined by Renfrey Deadman. If you think I'm sounding a bit like, it's just because the thought of what we're about to do and what we're about to talk about, I just want to say I'm really sorry for bringing this band up. I'm really sorry for kind of coming up with this idea. Essentially, Renfrey and I do a weekly podcast called Riot Act. You can listen to that every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts. It's an alternative music podcast. We decided to start doing this thing called Broken Records as part of that show, where we would compile a list of just, when you Google worst album ever, what comes up and why, and let's see if we can really find like what really is the worst album ever made. So we've got that list, we pull an album out of the hat, and we used to do it at the end of the show. We've decided to turn it into this. It's its own full-blown podcast, and what you're about to listen to is us talking in episode 107 of Riot Act, which came out on the 21st of August 2020. We pulled out I'm Not a Fan But the Kids Like It, the 2009 album from Broken Side. Now, there's been a few times where we've just gone, let's just chuck over to us and let us do the talking about this album, because obviously it was a few months ago that we did this. I'm not sure I can let that go this week. No. I feel like I have to slag this band off a little bit more, even 8 months after we first slagged them off, and we really do quite slag them off. I feel like I need to give them just one last kicking again. Renfrey, this is spoiler alert for people listening. We go pretty fucking hard on Broken Side, or we're about to, don't we?
It's a horrible, reprehensible record made by horrible, reprehensible people, and some of their behaviour is very much should have some sort of warning flagged up beforehand if you don't like to hear things about, oh god, sexual transgressions and so on and so forth that should not have taken place. Consider this a bit of a warning, because we are talking about some fucking horrendous people here. I don't even have to say allegedly either, do I? Which is nice.
Well, I think you do with it. I mean, I think you're thinking of Blood on the Dance Floor, aren't you?
Oh, I might be. I mean, they're both the fucking same.
I mean, so let's just chuck in an allegedly there, because I haven't actually heard anything that bad in that way about Broken Side. I just think their music is fucking terrible. But, I mean, I'd be really shocked if they weren't some sort of nonces, to be honest. So
there we go.
So I'm sure it will come out one day. Why would you make music like this if you weren't some kind of pervert? I don't really know. Anyway, here's us hating Broken Side. I'm Not a Fan But the Kids Like It by Broken Side. Just had a go at I Like Trains for using like rather than love, when clearly they love trains. Gonna have a go at Broken Side because I'm not a fan, but I very much doubt the kids do like it. Unless the kids are fucking stupid.
Is that the only reason you're gonna have a go at it, Steve? Because come on.
Released on the 16th of June 2009. This is the debut album from Broken Side. They'd already been hanging around a fair bit by then, so we should probably go back just to look at their roots a little bit. They were a band that were formed by David Seven Gallegos and Michael Mickey Shea in 2006. And
unusual middle names there, aren't they?
I know, yeah. I reckon they're not real names, to be perfectly honest.
I imagine David is.
Yeah, I meant the middle name. I was Mickey might be.
I was being facetious.
He's done it. they were actually asked to perform their song Freaks, with three X's, on MTV's highly influential Total Request Live in 2008, after blowing up on MySpace and releasing a couple of EPs.
A little bit of a spoiler. calling their song Freaks with three X's is probably the cleverest thing this band have ever done in their entire fucking career.
Oh, I reckon it's right up there. Yeah, for sure. It would be up there, definitely. So Broken Side, I guess, were one of the originators of the crunkcore scene. Mm. Now, I have to confess, Renfrey, a mix of modern screamo and party pop hip hop, two of my favourite genres, was not something which I could find myself getting particularly excited about back in the late noughties. I think we'd all suffered enough at that point.
Shall we go to the Wikipedia definition of crunkcore, just in case? Because I knew of crunkcore, but I couldn't really describe exactly what it was. So just to read from the Wikipedia entry. Crunkcore is a musical fusion genre characterized by the combination of cultural and musical elements from crunk, screamo, pop, electronic, and dance music. The genre often features screamed vocals, hip-hop beats, and, in quotation marks, sexually provocative lyrics.
Or, as I like to call them, disgusting, rapey lyrics. Yes, I absolutely ignored crunkcore. I mean, I never had any interest in it at all. I thought stuff like From First to Last and Asking Alexandria and Escape the Fate were just fucking embarrassing. So why the hell am I going to be interested in a even further watered down nonsense version of it? So yeah. I never just really bothered with it before.
Embarrassing is the word, just to interject.
Embarrassing,
there.
like Greece. anyway, after their little bit of success and the whole MySpace thing, the MySpace. Do you remember when bands could get big on MySpace? Remember that? Happened, didn't it?
What a time for music.
Yeah, when everyone suddenly like, we don't need the magazines and the record labels to push stuff for us. We're going to discover our own great bands like this and Job for a Cowboy.
Actually, that's a very astute point. I've never really thought about it like that. But yeah, MySpace allowed people to cut out the middleman, i.e. the middleman saying, well, this is good and this is shit and you shouldn't listen to this. And as a result, Broken Side actually had some traction of some sort for a very short period of time.
Yes.
But yeah, that's what happens when you discard journalists, music journalists. We're the most important people in the world. Thank you very much.
It's the hardest job in the world. anyway. Anyway, the album came out.
Listening to this record is one of the hardest jobs in the world. Fuck me.
It really is. I'll stop. 6,000 copies it sold on the week of release. Landed at number 86 in the Billboard Top 200, which is fucking mental. It did not stop it from getting a critical mauling. From all the records we've done on Broken Records before, I think this is probably the most savage critical mauling any of the records we've done so far. I've got The Enemy gave it 1 star. I will read the whole review. I'm not prone to hyperbole, so take this as gospel. Even if I caught Prince Harry and Gary Glitter adorned in Nazi regalia defecating through my grandmother's letterbox, I would still consider making them listen to this album too severe a punishment. And she's just had new carpets put in. Broken Side, a crunk gangster screamo R&B hybrid, should be respected and feared in the same way that Captain Kirk respects and fears the Klingons, which is why I'm firing intergalactic blue nuclear death straight at their fat fucking faces. It's like having an auto-tuned, crack-addled Cher with a hard-on bearing down on you singing Let's Get Freaky. On the plus side, it's quite catchy.
I was going to say, that sounds like something that you could have written until that last line there. I don't think you would have said that.
No, that is too good a review. Punk News gave it 0.5 star, not even a full star, 0.5 star. It says,
too many stars, I would say.
Yeah, too many. I hesitate to use the word bad. Bad Religion's Into the Unknown was bad. The Clash's Cut the Crap was bad. Yet behind these misguided endeavours was a noble spirit, earnest musicianship, and at least moments of greatness. Every once in a while, a band comes along that is so bad, so mind-numbingly appalling, such an artistically bankrupt abomination that you are literally embarrassed to be a part of the same species as the Neanderthalic fucking retards that produce this oral vomit. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Broken Side. Sputnik Music gave it 1 star, saying, "Far from me to say that people's opinions are wrong, but this is an exception. Broken Side are appalling, and the only consolation is that in a few months, nobody will remember who they are. But oh, how those long summer months go by." Dead Press gave it 1 star. "I reiterate, this is to be avoided at all costs. The 5 or 6 times I listened to it rank among the worst moments of my life. If I was listening to it for pleasure, I would probably have killed myself. If you like this or appreciate this in any way, you need to take a good look at yourself and then probably hand yourself over peacefully to your nearest mental hospital." Cracked.com said that the song Freaks, the one that they played on MTV, was a song that they hate so much they would drown it in a bath if they could. The comic book writer Warren Ellis, who did the comic book Red, which was turned into a film with Bruce Willis and Helen Mirren, called the band a near perfect snapshot of everything that's shit about this point in culture. I also went on to rateyourmusic.com, and there are about 300 1-star reviews over there.
Only 300?
And well, I couldn't be bothered to put one on there. I'm sure most people, of the 6,000 they sold, I'm sure most of the people decided to bury themselves alive. But one of them really stood out, where they called them Sex Offenders Registry Corps, which I think is pretty good. And
yeah, I shouldn't laugh.
The LA Times wrote an article that mentioned them, saying, "This Alba crazy bass band has done for MySpace emo what some think Soulja Boy did for hip hop. Turn their career into a kind of macro performance art that exists so far beyond the tropes of irony and sincerity that to ask, are they kidding, is like trying to peel an onion to get a perceived central core that in the end does not exist and renders all attempts to reassemble the pieces futile." That's what the critics thought. Renfrey,
hello.
Let me ask you, what did you think of "I'm Not a Fan, But the Kids Like It" by the band Broken Side?
Well, I think the critics have pretty much more or less hit the nail on the head. I mean, I do actually think, if anything, they've probably been too nice to it. Quite sincerely, if anything. I mean, it is pretty catchy. I don't think it's even pretty catchy. It's you are the out of the two of us, you know a lot more about pop music generally, but this is awful pop music married to guttural screams sometimes, which are just this kind of mixing of, I'm not even going to call it alternative music, because there's no real alternative music in this, is there? It's just awful, awful, awful pop mixed with someone occasionally screaming. And apparently,
it's not even guttural screams either. Like, just well, to pick guttural, up on that.
No,
I mean,
you're right,
it's
actually
not good screaming, is it? It's no. That, like, that fucking no support from your diaphragm, like screaming.
You're absolutely right, actually. I don't know if you've already mentioned, did you mention the crack.com contributor Michael Swaim comparing them to Slipknot Cher duet?
Yes. Well, no, I didn't actually, but
yeah,
I mean,
but you just read that.
I mean,
I think that's very unfair on Slipknot, because there's nothing particularly.
It's more like Wigfield meets Crazy Town.
Yeah. Well, even
not
that,
even as good as that.
Even that sounds nice, you know, but like, there isn't really any sort of alternative music in this. It's just been dressed up in alternative clothing, because that was kind of the perceived cool thing to do at that particular time. I have no idea whatsoever why the likes of a Kerrang or a Rock Sound would have bothered to cover this, and sadly they did, didn't they? I mean, I don't know if
they probably, because they had about 30 million fucking friends on MySpace. It was probably the only reason.
Well, they should have had a bit more fucking because there's so many reasons not to cover this. I do appreciate we're covering it now, but we are covering it this is an absolute abomination. An abomination is the word. It is devoid of any sort of merit whatsoever. I was about to say artistic merit, but it's devoid of merit. It's just devoid of any merit. It's fucking pathetically bad. The sort of pathetically shallow sense of humor that would only appeal to toddlers, I think. And I can forgive a toddler. I mean, actually, the toddler wouldn't understand what half of this record is about, to be honest. But it's the kind of like poo-poo, wee-wee. I mean, they refer to their penises as pee-pees on this record a surprising amount. It's just the kind of thing. And the really fucking shitty thing about this is, you know, that the defense would be like, oh, stop being so, you know, you're just being a real prude, or you're being a prig, or you're just like, I don't know, it'd be something moronic like that, like just have a sense of humor. But there isn't really much humor to be found in, I mean, I'm just gonna read the first verse of Sex Toys, which is, turn around girlfriend, now drop it, let me see you pop and lock it, put your hands down in my pocket and make my pee pee hard, shut the fuck up bitch, quit talking, I want to see those panties dropping, drop, dropping, drop, dropping, drop those fucking panties, girl. She's bringing sexy back. Look at how she shakes that ass. She drops it to the floor. Girl, you're such a dirty whore. Girl, you're such a dirty whore. This was in 2009. You know? It wouldn't have been excusable in 1984. This should not be excusable, and this should not, like, I think it's... The fact that there would have been publications and magazines giving this coverage in a, oh, you should listen to this sort of way, or you should check this out kind of thing. It is fucking disgusting. It's abhorrent. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, like, I am not that surprised that, you know, a scene that, I mean, I've actually, while you were doing that and doing those lyrics, which are horrible, I was like, there was a whole thing where these bands, like not even crunkcore bands, but particularly like kind of deathcore and metalcore bands, were putting t-shirts with just stuff that you just go, I cannot believe, even 10 years ago, there's one by a band called The Paramedic. I've never heard of them before. The Paramedic. And the t-shirt just says, bitch, say one more word, I'll rip your fucking throat out. Now, imagine where, like... Oh, imagine wearing that shit, or that fucking famous Asking Alexandria t-shirt, get on your knees, and then on the back it says like, and suck this bitch or something. I can't remember what it was, but I do remember there was, you know, there was a whole load of really, really horrible, horrible shit that was going on around that time. And I look at Brokenside, who... are probably more likely to appeal to kind of younger girls. Well, we'll talk about the sort of the makeup of their audience in a little bit. But I mean, there's a song in it called Scene Girls, right? Mm. Ah, yeah, you're in need of attention. Now drop that shit like you're in detention, which makes me think that he's talking about someone that's at school. Mm. Sit down, girl, just shut up and sit before I make you suck my girl nothing. OMG, you thought I'd say dick, but I won't say dick until you touch my dick. So get on your knees, girl, suck it. I don't know if any band that we were going to listen to or any music that we were going to do on this segment could make fucking Louis XIV seem like Bikini Kill. But somehow Brokenside have managed to do it. I mean, you know this because you were on the phone to me when it happened, but Bonjour has recently decided to start hunting the little family of mice that live right at the back of my garden, right? And she brought one in the other day. The next day she brought another one in, and it ran under the like radiator, and it was clinging to the wall in between. It had one foot on the radiator and one foot against the wall, and we were trying to get it out to let it out, because we were like, I mean, she was stalking around like, I'm gonna fucking eat this rat, right? Horrible situation. Don't like it. She's badly behaved, she's very naughty. But this mouse, I've never heard a mouse screaming before, and this mouse was like, yeah, yeah, like for about 20 minutes while we were trying to get it out. And even that mouse, I think musically, is, if that sound was released as an album, it would be better than this Brokenside record. This is horrible. I mean, a horrible, reprehensible attitude to drinking, to drugs, to the opposite sex, to music, to life, just anything ever. It's just the most obnoxious thing I've ever heard. And the thing is like, we cover stuff on here, and even the stuff that we absolutely hate, right? Even something like L-Storm, right? Now, everyone knows how much I fucking hate L-Storm. But I know what people are trying to get out of it. I know what people get out of Hellstorm. I don't think they're funny, yeah. And I don't think power metal's very good. I think it's cheesy and stupid. But some people like cheesy metal, and they like big bombastic metal stuff, and they like just, you know, sort of college humour. And that's or preschool humour in Hellstorm's case. But like, I get it, right? I understand why you like that. I understand what you're trying to get out of it. I don't really understand why you like it. I understand what you're trying to get out of it, but I don't really understand why you like it.
Yeah.
Whereas this, not only do I not understand why you like it, I don't even know what you're meant to like.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard music before where I think, I don't understand how anyone could listen to this and go, that's the thing that I like. It's the worst type of pop music, done worse than anyone has ever done pop music. The worst type of shit fucking post scene emo screamo crap done worse than any of those bands have ever done it, melded together in a really shit way.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a skit on it where he calls up his girlfriend to ask if she wants to suck some daddy dick. And he accidentally calls up the wrong person, and he calls up this hilarious Mexican stereotype who just goes, "I ain't no faggot." Essay. And you just think, who is this for?
Again, embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Who is it for? Either people who find this funny. And if you find this, you know, I'm certainly not a prude, as I've proved several times on this show. I don't think you're a prude.
Yeah, dirty get. No, you're not.
I don't think you're a prude either. But, you know, like, we'll go to some pretty dark places or pretty, like, borderline offensive places and stuff like that. Like, we're quite happy to push boundaries. But, you know, I think that the band would likely use the excuse of like, oh, just take a chill pill or something like that. You know, just like, calm down. It's just a joke.
You can't handle what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. That fucking nonsense, which is that just pathetic.
Yeah, like those hack American comedians who do really shitty like sexual abuse or rape jokes and go, oh, you just can't handle my comedy because I'm pushing the boundaries. Comedy's about pushing boundaries. It's like... Mm. You're not pushing anything though, mate. You're not pushing anything at all. Yeah. You're just saying something horrible.
Yeah.
And it's not, people aren't offended by it. I mean, people might be, it is kind of offensive, but it's not that people are offended by it. People just think, well, that's just, you know, it's been, I said all that shit when I was 12.
Yeah, exactly. And
I fucking grew up.
Yeah.
I said
it
when I was 12 and then I realized that actually, it's not funny. I mean, I've spoken about when I did stand up before, and when I was like 25, I kind of deliberately went out of my way to say some unbelievably offensive stuff. And looking back on it, it's like, that's not actually funny. And like, even to give myself a little bit of credit, I was picking, I mean, it's far more offensive than anything that is on this record. Mm. Really, if you're going to be like, I mean, it's not a competition, but I was like, God, you know, if you are going to try and be offensive, do better than just going, schoolgirls should suck my willy. Like,
but isn't it also about targets? I mean, there's that thing in comedy about punching up rather than punching down, kind of thing. I don't think Broken Side are capable of punching down, because surely they're the absolute lowest of the low, aren't they? You know,
yeah, nothing is below Broken Side.
Yeah, exactly. But the excuse that, oh, it's just a joke, fuck off, pathetic, absolutely pathetic. And then I suppose it's the other people who might like this sort of thing, and they're reprehensible people, but probably people who would find it ironic. And again, it's a variation of the it's funny thing, but oh, it's ironic to like this thing, and I ironically listen to this album. And if anyone ironically does anything, then they're an absolute destitute, despicable, loathsome, repulsive person, just like the members of Broken Side are. And I just, it upsets me that there were people who put this magazine, put this music on a pedestal, album, Rock Sound used to cover this band. Kerrang! Used to cover this band, and I think that's really embarrassing. And sometimes, like, we've gone in on Rock Sound quite hard in the past, but it's because they used to like really big up this scene, and it's really embarrassing. It like they should be fucking embarrassed. They should want to pulp every fucking copy of the magazines that would have even vaguely said anything about, oh, there's a new Broken Side record, you should probably check it out. I mean,
I think they were usually, I mean, Kerrang particularly, I know we're not, they covered them, but they covered them in probably the same way as they covered Nickelback when Nickelback first came out. Like, loads of people like this, but fuck me, it's rubbish.
Okay, or so the way that we're covering them now. So because I think bringing something up and saying that it's utterly reprehensible, it's fine. But if you're sort of going, oh, maybe you should check this out.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know about Roxanne, but certainly every time they got mentioned in Kerrang, it was okay. Like, ugh. The irony thing, I don't care if Broken Side are kind of, oh, let's make the worst thing ever, like, oh, this is a performance art piece and this is kind of, you know, it's irony or that kind of cynical bullshit. I mean, I'm sure maybe it is all that stuff, but it's just fucking worthless. And it's not irony, and it's not like liking something ironically would mean looking at like The Room by Tommy Wiseau, which we mentioned before, or the D.D. King record, right? Which is an album, which is, you know, rubbish, stupid, silly like record, but it's made with an earnest heart, like it's made complete earnestness. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with, like, you know, you get that and that's like, oh, bless D.D. King, he fucking loves hip hop and he wants to be a hip hop star and he can't be because he's just not very good at it. But that album, he's put everything that he could put into it, and you can't fucking fault someone who does that.
As opposed to
it's 2009 and being earnest and liking stuff is gay, so let's not fuck off. You're an absolute piece of shit.
Yeah, it's pathetic. I think D.D. King was making an attempt to make a good album. He failed, but you know, as you say, there's a lot of joy to be had from that record. But if you're
love made from it,
kind of
pride in your work, even if it's rubbish, at least take some sort of pride in the thing that you're trying to create.
Well, as you said, there's a charm to it. Whereas if you know, we don't know this for a fact, but if Broken Side is this, if this is just one big joke, if this is just a Steel Panther thing, but in even poorer taste, then I there's absolutely no merit in that whatsoever. That's the best case scenario. There's no merit in it whatsoever doing it once. I'm having a look on Spotify here. Spotify don't even have this record on there. I mean, thank fuck, I don't really want to add it to the Broken Records playlist because I don't want to give them any money. But normally I'm kind of like, oh, it's only 0.0006p. It doesn't matter. No, I don't want them to even receive that, frankly, because this is such a fucking abomination. But Broken Side appear to have five fucking records. I mean, it's I can't even how.
Well, they just won't fuck off, will they? No. They just won't fuck off. Well, I mean, Merlin. So we know the people who we know the PR company that actually represented Broken Side around this time, and I'm glad to say that, you know, really the UK never really took to this, because I was actually chatting to Merlin from Metal Hammer, and Merle was kind of they were getting a bit of a push, and Merle went down to see them at the Barfly in London.
Really? Fuck me.
Okay. Yeah, he did. And he said even at the age of 25 he was by far the oldest person there. And it was less than half full, and it was just filled with a load of screaming girls. And he said that Broken Side were fucking terrible, completely terrible. And that probably worse than that, they, he asked me not to go into too much detail because he said, I don't want to be misremembered. But well, what he said is they didn't really tone down their shtick whilst being faced with a room full of, well, half a room full of school children, if you know what I mean. So that's pretty gross. And like you say, they are still a band, releasing an album in 2018. But I have to say, like, imagine being in 2020, being in Broken Side, and you still have to do this shit to about, what, 20 people a tour?
Yeah.
You're in your early to mid 30s, and this is how you spend your life, screaming, get crunk in the club for fucking peanuts. Cunts. Yeah. And I hope they go. It makes me hope that there is a hell. I'm not a religious man because Broken Side are going to hell.
Oh, yeah.
And the absolute, I mean, if there is a hell, I know that you see it in films and stuff, but the real actual definition of what hell would be like. And I'm trying to think of what the absolutely the worst version of hell would look like in reality, in a real world where there could be a hell. And I can't think of one where Broken Side don't deserve everything that real hell would mean. An eternity of the most terrible suffering. I just think that that is surely the least they deserve.
I'm anti-death penalty, but listening to this record makes me go, bring back public hangings just for Broken Side. Please, please bring them back. And I'm a very, very passive guy when it comes to that sort of thing. But after hearing this absolute abomination, I just kind of go, the world has enough bullshit in it as it is. We don't need people like you.
This is a perfect storm of everything that Broken Records has come to represent. Mm. We have the utterly despicable, morally disgraceful, bottom-feeding lyrical content. We have the diabolical production, the absolutely diabolical production. We have the endless length that just goes on. And
have we even mentioned that? It's 63 minutes.
It's 63 fucking minutes long. It is endless. We have the bandwagon hopping, like, idea-free, ridiculous, like, oh, we just, that's popular, that's what we have to do. We have the complete narcissism to just continue to go on and on and on. It is everything that we've ever mentioned, bar those sort of, you know, the Lauryn Hill, the Lou Reed, the Bob Dylan, those ones that we actually think are quite good. Everything basically from kind of Limp Bizkit's Results May Vary downward. That absolute shit house. That usually you look at something like Richard Ashcroft where you go, it's hilarious because he's such an egomaniacal mental person and he doesn't know what he's on about. Mm. Or you look at the Towers of London and you go, it's so bad because they're just not, they can't write songs and it's terrible. Or you look at Methods of Mayhem and you go, or Louis XIV and go, ugh, they're such dirty, pervy, horrible, scabby old fuckers. This is all of that. Or 6 Feet Under, where you go, who recorded this? Your fucking, your pet frog.
Yeah.
Did you just throw a frog at the recording machine? The recording machine. I mean, I sound like an idiot who doesn't know anything about production at all. But like, machine. The recording, press play on the recording machine.
Press record on the recording machine, surely.
Yeah, or Eoghan Quigg, like the stupid, horrible, cynical, money hungry, the very worst excesses of the music industry's greediest, nastiest parts. This is all of that in one album.
Yeah.
Renfrey, do I even need to say where this needs to go?
It's number one. It's number one. It's number one.
It's comfortably number one. I cannot believe that Uncle Cracker, which was the previous number one, albums like Uncle Cracker's Double Wide, which is a horrible, horrible record. Methods of Mayhem, self-titled, a horrible, despicable record. Towers of London, Blood, Sweat and Towers, just a vile, desperate, gross record. I cannot believe that those records seem bland by comparison to this fucking piece of shit, this unbearable piece of shit.
An utter abomination, which just should be completely and utterly eradicated from history, time, space. It's fucking terrible. And I think, you know,
I would headbutt Broken Side's nan.
I feel sorry for Broken Side's nan. No, this is reprehensible fucking nonsense, and there is no excuse for it, and it isn't funny. And if you think this is funny, you are probably as despicable and loathsome as they are. And you also need to grow the fuck up if you think this is funny as well.
Yeah, fucking grow up. Broken Side, if you are listening, just slowly lower yourself into a wood chipper.
We don't just want you to kill yourselves. We want it to be painful as well.
Really painful, and probably stop around the waist so that you live. Put your arms in as well. And then just get someone to sort of throw you in the snow.
Because we're not provocative at all, are we?
No. I just hate them so much. I just think they just come across as... Again, it's not even like... Bad music is bad music, and, you know, bad music can be bad. Razorlight, he's a dickhead. Johnny Burrell's a dickhead. You know, these...
Oh, like Razorlight are forgiven everything.
Oh, my God. Do you remember when you talk about the noughties? The noughties, and you go, oh, that shitty indie stuff, like the Kooks... Fucking, I'm going to go and put the Kooks on after this. I'm going to be dancing around. I love her because... She go, what a fucking banger this is. Like, after listening to Broken Side. Just absolutely awful. Awful. You know when you meet people who go, I don't really like music. And you go, what? That's mental. You don't like music? What are you talking about? Of course you like music. I finally have understood people who go, I don't like music. Because if this is music, then I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, quite. Yeah.
I'm going to pick another. So, Broken Side. I mean, I cannot ever imagine. How is something going to beat that?
Can I also say, I mean, I do appreciate
Mate, if World War II was an album, it would still be number two. Do you know what I mean?
Can I just say, I mean, I understand that people might want to listen to this as a, you know, because they're like, oh my God, how awful could that be? If you're going to, could you try and pirate it at least, or at least listen to it on YouTube where they will get the absolute minimum amount of money? I have to say, whilst I said that sentence, Steve's head is in his hands once again, which happened last time when you picked out Broken Side. So what the fuck have you picked out this time?
Renfrey, I cannot believe what I've just picked out, to the point where, for the first time ever, I'm considering putting it back. I am actually considering putting it back.
The first time you've considered putting it back, but go
no,
on.
No, but genuinely considering actually putting it back, because only because, for one, we've had Razorlight, which seemed, and then this, and then I thought, God, Crunkcore, at least we'll never have to talk about Crunkcore again. No. And then out comes Blood on the Dance Floor.
Oh, you're fucking kidding.
Who are basically another one of these bands. So we're going to be doing all this again next week if we have to do this. I'm putting this back. I'm not doing Blood on the Dance Floor next week. I'm sorry. If you're listening and going boo to this kind of behaviour, I get it, all right? I get it. But trust me, you don't have to listen to this. And there's nothing, anything else. I just don't want to listen to this type of thing again. And Blood on the Dance Floor are sort of related. Do we have to do another one of those scene bands? What do you think? Because I've got another one in my hand right now. And I know it's really shit, but people, please understand how difficult it is, this segment. It's been hell over the last few weeks.
The only thing I would say... God, I'm just having a quick look on their Wikipedia, and there's some not nice things to talk about with that band at all.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing I'd say is get it out of the way. I mean, if you put it back, we're going to have to come back to it eventually, aren't we?
I know. I just put... Okay, well, I picked it out and fine, we'll keep it. So, oh God, this is the worst. This is, it can't be much. It can't. I mean, the next one I just picked out Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill live acoustic.
Oh.
Which would have been the one. I mean, oh, imagine that feels like the most beautiful thing to have ever happened.
Yes.
So we could have had that. Do you know, we could have had that.
Yeah.
We
brought it on ourselves. I mean, you brought it on. This was your idea, this feature. Yeah. And I actually. I didn't want to say this, but whilst listening to this Broken Side record, I did have a bit of resentment and hatred for you just for coming up with the idea for this feature.
I hate it. I mean, I know people like us talking about it and putting it together, but good God. Anyway, next week, I mean, that was, as I was putting my hand in, I was going, oh, I don't have to listen to that again for a long time. Phew. And I was like, as long as I don't pick out Blood on the Dance Floor, and
what
I picked
have
out
we
Blood.
Done? What God is spiting us? What the fuck have we done?
I mean, I got to say, Limp Bizkit results may vary. Razorlight, Broken Side, Blood on the Dance Floor in a month. There's some stuff in there that I think is really worth talking about. and it just will not come out. I think someone's gone through it and gone, nope, we'll take out the Clash and Duran Duran.
Probably Bonjour. I bet it's fucking Bonjour.
Swapped it with, there is a dead mouse in there, so hopefully we'll pull that out soon, and that probably still would be better than putting that on a turntable and just putting your record, your needle on it and trying to listen to a dead mouse would be definitely better.
To be clear, you don't mean the band, the DJ Deadmau5.
No, I don't mean the band Deadmau5. Quite like Deadmau5. Anyway, next week we're going to be doing Bad Blood by Blood on the Dance Floor. Fun.
So there you go. We have a brand new number one. It is Broken Sides. I'm not a fan, but the kids like it.
Should have just left it at I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, and I wish they were dead.
That would have been, been a far better title.
Better name for the record. Yeah. Thanks very much for listening to the show. Episode number 25 is probably the most harrowing one we've done. It's on Blood on the Dance Floor. Just want to give a kind of quick shout. All the stuff that Renfrew was saying at the start. I'm not going to stick up for Broken Side and go, actually, they're all right. They're probably not. They're almost certainly not. But Blood on the Dance Floor, it's not a nice listen. That
not pleasant
and
at all.
They absolutely have to be in this list because they do. But that's over there now, episode 25. Much more fun is listening to us on Riot Act every Friday, talking about new albums that are coming out, or going on to our Patreon page and signing up for just a minuscule amount and listening to us talk about any albums that you suggest, or maybe our classic albums as well. So we would very much appreciate it if you could do that. That would be lovely.
There's less nonce chat on our main podcast, Riot Act. So just in case.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot less. But, you know, if that sounds like something you'd like to listen to, it is available on episode 25 of Broken Records, which is where we're going to go now. Goodbye.